is the IPSCSDA Media Network.
We're going to jump right into this thing. I believe three important things before I preach anywhere. Number one, we're going to laugh. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. We're going to learn. Amen. And then we're going to leave. Amen. I'm not going to be before you long. I think we got a full day ahead of us, and there's a lot of stuff I'm going to share now, and there's some things I'm going to share later. But let's just go and jump in the Word. I'm gonna have to pivot from what I was going to originally preach this morning. The Lord's kind of pulled me in a different direction. Do you mind? Amen. All right, so let's get into this thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus. Lord, the bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, you are the living word. Lord, be with us this morning, God. Let us just have the joy of the Lord in this place. And we pray all this in your holy name. Amen and amen. I want you to come with me to Genesis chapter 50. And verse 15, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. And when you get there, I want you to say amen. Somebody looking on the screen, I want you to find it in your word. Do you mind? Pull out your Bibles real quick. Here we go. If I were to title this sermon, I would title it Blessed to Be a Blessing. I want to let you know that when God gives you blessings, it's not just for you and yours. It's not just for me and mine, but God gives blessings for other people to be a blessing to others. Some of y'all ain't saying amen. Don't worry, you'll get it by the time this sermon is over with. But let's get into this. Here we go. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. And the Bible says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we had did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. They're lying, by the way. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sins because they have done evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of your servant, the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him, saying, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? I want you to read that again. Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Blessed to be a blessing. I don't want you to miss the context behind this scripture. The Bible tells us that Joseph has died. Joseph, the man who wrestled with God, has died. The Bible says that he's fought the good fight. Amen. He's done everything he was supposed to do, but Jacob has died. The Bible has made this big moment, and it doesn't want you to miss the grandiose nature of Jacob's funeral. The Bible said that there are 40 days of embalming. The Bible says that there are 7 days of lamenting just for the family. There are 70 days for the Egyptians to mourn. And when the time comes to bury Jacob in the tomb, in the place of his fathers, there is a huge caravan that takes Jacob's body all the way to the land of Canaan. It's a big moment. And somebody knows it's at funerals and weddings that people show the worst side of themselves. It's at weddings where we have bridezillas. I know some of y'all don't want to say nothing because you know that was you. It's at funerals where some of the issues that never were resolved come up. It can be at funerals where you found out that somebody has some outside kids. It's something about funerals that bring out the worst in people. And it's after the funeral has taken place that the brothers of Joseph, they start to wonder whether or not Joseph had been kind to them because that's who he really is, or because that he was being kind to them for their father's sake. And his brothers, thinking that Joseph is like them, they get to scheming. And they come around each other and they say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell Joseph that our father told you to be nice to us. So let me break this down. They come to Joseph and say, Daddy said you better not be mean to me. Daddy said you better treat me right, even though I treated you wrong. And it's at this moment where we see the nature of Joseph. If you don't know who Joseph is, Joseph's story is a story that it's one of my favorite Bible stories. Outside of the story of Jesus, Joseph is my favorite character. Because here's the reality. If you ever go through anything in life, you'll relate to Joseph. If you've ever been lied on, you'll relate to Joseph. If you've ever been looked over, you'll relate to Joseph. If you ever had family issues where people in your own family, people who are your own blood, have an issue with you, you'll relate to Joseph. Joseph was an individual who, if you read the Bible said he had dreams. Now, here's the problem that I got with Joseph. Joseph has a dream that basically says that he's going to one day rule over his brothers. Now, here's the problem. Why he tell the dream to his brothers? I love the Lord too, but if you were to tell me that dream, I don't know if I could handle what came out of your mouth. But Joseph tells his brothers this dream, and one day as they see him coming towards them, he's coming to check on them. One of the second oldest brother says, let's kill him. When he gets here, let's kill him, and then let's just throw his body somewhere. Then the oldest brother says, wait, hold on, before we kill him, let's talk about this. Let's throw him in a pit, and let's figure this thing out. Then somebody else says, hold on, if we kill him, we'll get nothing from it. But if we sell him into slavery, at least we can get a profit. Here's your first lesson for this Sabbath. Don't you know there's always somebody profiting from somebody else's pain? This is a lesson in this world. Don't you know there's always somebody trying to make a profit off the pain of somebody else? And Joseph is sold into slavery, and he ends up at Potiphar's house. And at Potiphar's house, he meets, I call her Mrs. Potter. Old Mrs. Potter. Mrs. Potter was a cougar. Don't look at nobody, because some of you are you are redeemed cougars in here. Some of you have been redeemed from that lifestyle. But Mrs. Potter saw Joseph, and she saw he was a sweet young thing. She thought he was a PYT. And when she saw him, if you don't know what that is, this is over your head. That's Michael Jackson. Oh, my goodness. If you don't know that, I need to have an altar call right now. But she saw him, and she decided in her mind that she was going to get with him. She was going to know him like the Bible said. You know what I'm saying? And when she tries to make an advancement on Joseph, Joseph says these words that blow me away. Because here's the thing. I'll get to that later. Joseph says this. He says, how could I commit such a sin against God? That's hard. Because this is bad, because Joseph could have got away with it. Joseph could have had his little thing on the side and been good. But he saw past that and said, when I'm sinning against God. So Mrs. Potter lies on him. He goes to jail. And then he's in jail for a crime he did not commit.
This is how hard Joseph was. He's so good at his job that while he's in jail, they set him over the jail. Now, see, this is where he's better than me. If you set me over the jail, step one is escape. If you want me to count all the prisoners, I'm not counting myself. I think we're missing somebody. And if we aren't, he'll be missing tonight. But Joseph does such a good job. He's so faithful that he stays in this position. And God sets up an event with the Pharaoh so that he can tell the dream of the Pharaoh. And he starts off by telling the dream of two guys who come to who are put in jail. One is the cupbearer and one deals with the bread. And one of them dies and the other one is sent back to the king's court. And Joseph says, hey, before you go, don't forget me. And like the Sabbath, every week is forgotten. And this man goes back to the king's court and is forgotten and forgets about Joseph. Now, here's the crazy thing. God sets up this event. He gets him out of jail. And then ultimately, Joseph is used to save a whole nation. He was blessed in some of the most ugliest ways. He was blessed to be a blessing. You ain't said amen yet, but you're going to get this in a minute. Don't miss this place. And guess what? I already talked to your pastor. He said it's okay if you talk back to me. He said, nobody's going to call HR if you say amen up in this place. Amen. Get this in this place today. Don't miss this. God will bless you in such a way that God will do things for you that other people won't have. And here's what his brothers say to him. They asked him for a favor. And then Joseph says, have I become God in your life? He says, am I in the place of God? Don't miss this in this place today. Don't let God's blessings make you become a God in somebody else's life. Don't let God's blessings in your life be a tool to control or to manipulate people. Guess what? The real test in life isn't about those who are down. The real test in life is when you are up. Because when you are up, you have an option. When you're up, you have an option on how you deal with people who are down. You can walk by them. You can make things better. You can make things worse. You can do nothing. The real test in life comes when God has given you a blessing, when God has given you an advantage, and when God does these things, the question is, what will you do when you have the power? What will you do when you're in charge? What will you do when all the shots are called by you? What will you do when you are the HNIC? Will you be critical? Will you be judgmental? Will you be self-righteous? Joseph says, am I in the place of God? Then he does this. I love this. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph makes this clear. He says, what you did to me wasn't an accident. I didn't just slip up and become a slave. No, the things you did to me were on purpose. And I recognize it and I'm ready to move on. This is the thing that really got me. I've noticed that sometimes in life, we can go through things with family and with friends where oftentimes we'll use that scripture to be mean. Let me tell you something. Some of the worst things in this world is a scripture in the hands of a Christian who is ugly. Guess what? Let somebody do something mean to you. You're going to say that scripture. Oh, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And when you do that, God doesn't get no glory from that because you're trying to be nasty. Well, you're trying to be nice nasty. Have the platitudes of looking kind and Christian, but really you're trying to cuss them out. So this is what happens. Joseph's life has so many ups and downs. I mean, there's so many times when you look at his life, it's off kilter, it's unfair. It's so many things that happened to him that would just make you say, God, why? But then when you look at how it ends, you start to realize all the ups and downs had a purpose. Somebody help me. Pull out a key. Anybody got a key that they have? Pull it out. I want you to pull out a key and hold it in the air for me. It shouldn't take you that long. Good Lord. Look at your key. Everybody's key in here is different. This is how our lives are. Look at your key. There are ups and downs on your key. But only your key fits in your lock. I'm preaching in here. You just missed it. Everything that God has done in your life had a purpose. All the ups and downs had a purpose. And now you fit where you're supposed to be. Now you can be an answer to somebody else's problem. Oh my goodness, let me break this thing down for you. Y'all not getting this. Every time I cried myself to sleep had a purpose. Every time I almost died had a purpose. Every time I was lied on had a purpose. Every time I was looked over, disrespected, insulted. This is why David said, it was good that I be afflicted. It was good that all hell broke loose. It was good that you left me. It was good that I cried myself to sleep all night. It was good that everything happened. Because in hurting me, you helped me grow. Listen to me. Listen to me. Y'all not hearing me in this place. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I love that. I love that. Because Joseph shares this important imperative for the Christian life. That a part of being a follower of God is the reality of dealing with God on his terms. That went over your head like a bonnet. One of the issues of Christianity is, how many people have ever read this book called, Love Languages. The only error when you try to put that towards our love for God is that God doesn't always love you in the way that you want him to. Am I lying? There are times when you have certain needs that you feel like have to be met. And God said, nah. You need something else right here. The fatal flaw with how we deal with Christianity is that we make God try to fit our issues, our situations, our problems. And we don't try to accept God on his terms. Let me tell you something. You will always struggle with faith in God if you never accept God on his terms. If you always think God's going to conform to you and you never conform to him, you're going to have some problems in this place today. Listen to me. I'm not going to hold you but very much longer, but get this. Joseph was blessed to be a blessing for his family. Everything he had went through had put him on another level so that he could open up a door that nobody else in his family could open up. And this is the crazy part. If they would have known that Joseph was the key, they wouldn't have done what they did. And some of you, this is going to hit you hard. We will hurt and assassinate the character of the very people that God has placed around us to help us because we don't like their attitude. Because they get more attention in church than we do. You got diabetes and you're beefing with the health ministry leader. She got all the keys to help you out, but you up in here gossiping about her, talking bad about her, saying all type of foolishness while your junk getting worse and worse and worse. We will hurt the very thing that God has put in front of us to help us. This is the thing that really gets me. Joseph shows his true loyalty in the fact that Joseph stands on business. Some of the old people didn't get that. Joseph stands on business no matter what the situation may be. He's the same when his father Jacob is alive, and he's the same after Jacob is alive. Don't you know there's some people that will only act right when the person of authority is in front of them? I'm just going to be honest, because I know Ypsilanti, y'all are a wonderful church, and I love y'all, but y'all a church like every other church. And I'm a tell the truth and shame the devil. Hallelujah, somebody. It's some people in here that will only show up when Pastor Aaron is here. Let you find out that he's not preaching one Sabbath, and then you heading to Detroit Metro Center to go hear a sermon from Pastor Lindor. But Joseph was faithful even when nobody else was watching. That's the true test of being trustworthy. Because some of us can be faithful when the eyes are on us. But when nobody's watching, that's when our true colors come out. That's when we start cutting corners. Sorry. That's when we start cutting corners. That's when we start showing favoritism. Oh my, oh my. I'm not talking to Ypsilanti. I'm talking to another church. It's when we can be the same today and be the same tomorrow. I wish I had a witness up in this place. Joseph shows this reality. And one of the things that I'm really trying to get in my mind is, because I really want to help somebody this Sabbath. Because is there anybody in here who feels like they're blessed? Guess what? That should be every hand. You're alive. You're living. You have family. You have food in your refrigerator. You made it here today. Everybody under the sound of my voice is blessed. And guess what? If you're not blessed, you need to wake up and start counting the blessing. Count them one by one. You're blessed. There's somebody who wished they could have what you have. There's somebody who wished that they could have that old raggedy husband all you do is complain about. There's somebody who wished they could have that hoopty that you got. You know that one that every time you bend the block, everybody starts ducking because it's off. Bow. Every time you turn it on, it just sounds like somebody's shooting. Somebody wished they had a car because they on the bus every day. We all got some blessings in here. And one of the things I want to teach you, if you learn nothing else this Sabbath, you ought to learn this, that when God blesses you, blessings aren't fair. Amen. Say this with me. Amen. Blessings aren't fair. All right, that was this side. Blessings aren't fair. I need you to say that, because some of you, you got a problem with God because you think blessings are fair. You believe in equivalent exchange, that if I do the right things, God will bless me. But blessings aren't about how much you work. Blessings aren't even just about how much you pray. Blessings aren't just about how much you go to church. God's blessing, guess what? There are people who don't know God, who think that you pronounce the book of Job, Job, who don't know nothing about tithe paying. No, seriously. They don't know God, ain't trying to know God. They say, who is God that I should even serve him? And God blesses them still. Blessings are fair. And what you will do in this life, if you try to have fairness with blessings, you'll miss out on what God is trying to do. Amen. Hear me in this place today. When God gives you a blessing, God gives you an advantage over somebody. God will set you up with knowledge other people won't have. God will set you up with gifts that other people don't have. God will set you up with experiences that other people don't have. God will set you up in ways that other people are trying to get to. A blessing is so much bigger. Oh, and can I help somebody? A blessing is so much bigger than what they put on Instagram. You know, if you watch social media, you'll think a blessing is just a Mercedes Benz. It's a new house. No, a blessing's bigger than that. A blessing is really something that you can't do for yourself that God does out of the love for you. This thing really got to me, because oftentimes when we are blessed, and I said all of us are, What happens is we seek fairness. Because we think that if I'm good to you, you should be good to me. If I watch your kids, you ought to watch my kids. If I help you move on my one day off that week, you ought to help me move when I need help. If I hear your business and I don't tell your stuff, I expect you to hear my business and not spread it around the church. But the reality is, blessings aren't fair. Pastor, I need your help.
Yes, sir, no problem.
I'm about to pay him back for all the time he be picking on folks. I'm about to get him right now. In life, this is a blessing. Everybody say blessing.
Blessing.
If I watch your kids, I expect you to watch my kids. If I give you money, I expect for you to give me money. If I have your back, I expect you to have my back. And life is a thing where I expect that you'll be good to me, I'll be good to you. I'll be good to you, you'll be good to me. But in life, as you're passing the ball between one person and another, eventually somebody drops the ball. You can sit down. In life, get this. You will be passing the ball back and forth only to find that people will not give it back to you. Why is it that when I gave you money and then when I need it and I ask for it back, you act like those are fighting words? You act like I've talked about your mama. I just said, can I get back what I gave you? And this, what you'll find in this life is that you will give and 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 give, and people will take and take and take and then belch and ask for seconds. No, hear me out. You will give people your last. And they will get more than what they need and won't even give you their first. You will stand up for people and people won't stand up for you. What you have to expect now is that when God blesses you, the blessings aren't fair. You'll give to people, but they won't give back. I'm trying to help you up in this place today. I'm trying to help you because some of you get mad at God because you don't understand the basic fundamentals of a blessing. God gives you excess so that you don't need to come crawling back to nobody asking for it back. Can I help somebody in here? Some of the problem is, it's not so much that I had a, I gotta be careful with the stories I share because people be knowing folks. But I had a lady in my church, right? And she would always come to church and say, Lord, I pray that I finally hit the lotto. I say, wow, you bold. You just gonna say that up. You just like, I'm just gonna say it up in church. It is what it is. You bold. I even told her, I was like, you pretty bold for that one. I'm not gonna lie. And week after week, this would happen. Nothing would ever change. But this is what we started to do. I said, how about this? Instead of praying for the lotto, let me take a look at your finances and let's see what's going on. Maybe the reason why you're short on cash isn't because you need more. Maybe you need to manage what you have better. So we did this thing that if you needed money for a bill in my church, you had to sign up to have a budget created for you. Amen, somebody. We don't want to just give you the fish. We want to teach you how to fish. I'm doing you a disservice if I don't teach you how to do better, if I just help you but not teach you. Amen, somebody. So I was making a budget for her, and as I was going through her finances, I was saying, hold on, there are some discrepancies. The first discrepancy was I noticed that she was paying four other people's cell phone bill. I said, hold on, who are these people? Oh, they're my kids. Oh, okay. How old are they? This person's 40. This person's 45. I said, hold on. These grown folks, I mean, these are fully grown adults. You paying their bills, and then you don't got enough money to make it to the end of the month. The second discrepancy I found was that, man, this lady had a big heart, and every month she would be giving to the United Negro College Fund. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. If your money is funny and your change is strange, you need a co-signer for a stick of gum, that's not the time to be trying to be a philanthropist. You talk about a mind is a terrible thing to waste. You wasted. So as we started to go through her finances, I said, we're going to have to cut out different things. So the real reason, the real thing was, she didn't need more. She needed God to bless what she had. She needed to learn how to manage what she had. Here's the reality for some of us. God has blessed some of us so much, and we're asking God for more. We say, Lord, I need a new man. I need a new boo. I need a new car. And God's like, you won't even take care of the stuff I gave you now. Your car raggedy now. You won't even wash your car now. You won't even make up your bed now. You won't even take care of the stuff I give you now. And you want more. Here's the thing. God is so loving. He will never give us things that we can't handle. That's how loving he is. God will not deposit it in your life. That's torture. For somebody to give you something you don't have the ability to hold on to. So through trials and pain, God gives us the ability to hold on to the things we ask for. Some of us, you ask for a husband or a wife. Well, Lord knows all you're going to do is be married to them for 5 minutes and then be upset with them for 50 years. You know you got a short temper. You know you don't want nobody snoring all night. You don't even like when your family come over. And you talking about living with somebody? Oh, you wild. Oh, you wild. And Jesus is trying to get somebody to realize this. Before we ask for more, Lord, help me deal with what I have. Oh, my goodness. Y'all helping me preach in this place today. So this thing really got to me. As I'm reading this, I'm starting to really trying to get a better understanding of this. Because as I'm looking at this story, I'm starting to see why Joseph was blessed the way he was blessed. Because this thing was really deep to me. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, whom much is given, much is required. Oh, we like the giving part when it's to us, but the required is the part we say, hold on, God. I like the way Spider-Man's grandfather said it. He says, with great power, oh, y'all don't know that? Comes great responsibility. Oh, my goodness, y'all don't know that? We're going to have a Bible study after church. Here's the reality. God gives you a lot. He gives you much so that you can be a blessing to other people. It's not just about you and your family. It's not just making sure that your 401k is straight and that your retirement plan. God gives blessings so that they can be transferred to other people. This is a biblical model. I'm not making this up. Look in the word. I'm finna show you something. You finna learn you something today. Here we go. Don't you know that you have to give an account for every opportunity that God has given you? If he gave you an opportunity, if he's giving you favor with somebody, a chance, anything that God has done, you're gonna have to give an account for, because to much is given, much is required. And here's the reality. Joseph was blessed because Joseph showed that he was trustworthy. Mm. Amen. Let me tell you, Joseph was trustworthy so much. Joseph was the type of guy that you could leave alone with your wife. Some of y'all don't get it because you don't got friends like that. There's some people that when they come over, you got to watch them. You say, hold on now, Honey, you stay over there, You got to watch some folks. But Joseph was the type of individual, you can trust him with your wife. You can trust him with your money. You can trust Joseph. Because when it's all said and done, Joseph's number one principle was this, that when he was blessed, he blessed other people. See, here's the thing. The true nature of a blessing is to be a conduit. Everybody say a conduit. Somebody say, I don't know what a conduit is. Well, you're going to learn today. A conduit is something that you use to conduct energy to other things. It's something that's used to channel energy to other things. Here's the thing. God gives a blessing to a person. He never expects the blessing to end with that person. He expects you as a Christian to find a way, this is how they say it in the world, to pay it forward. Oh my goodness. I don't know about you all. Have you ever been in line at a restaurant? And then when you get to the window, they say the car in front of you has already paid. Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. I was at a restaurant one time. And as I was on this date, I was getting kind of nervous because, you know, when you're on a date, especially a first date, people sometimes like to order a bunch of stuff. Now, guess what? This was not my wife, so I ain't talking about her. But this young lady, she could put away some food. And she was just ordering stuff off the menu, and I'm just like, hold on, I got a few more days till I get paid up in here. And so I'm sweating, and I'm wondering, okay, God, how you going to work this out? Because either I'm going to have to dine and dash, and she's going to have to, I'm going to leave her here, and she's going to have to figure that thing out, wash some dishes or something. But something's going to happen up in here. But this is what happened. As I'm getting up to deal with this, the person tells me, the waiter, they come to me and say, I want to let you know, this couple over there, they paid for your food. I said, thank you, God. But then my day says, well, you know what you got to do, right? You got to pay for somebody else's food. I said, okay, cool. So I'm scanning the restaurant. I'm saying, okay, who got the least amount of stuff? Okay, this person got some bread and cheese and grapes over there. Okay, good. That should be about $5. So I want to pay for that couple's food. But when she bring the thing back, it's like $70. I said, hold on, what did they order? I end up paying for it. But the reality I learned is when God blesses you, you are indemnified. Google that word. You are indemnified to bless somebody else. You are never meant to be the end of a blessing. You don't believe me, do you? I'm going to give you some examples. Look at the Bible. Joseph was a blessing. God deposited the blessing into Joseph. It was so big that it ended up blessing an entire country. Y'all don't believe me. The Bible talks about our brother Abraham. Abraham was said that he would have a blessing in him that all nations would be blessed. The blessing is never meant to stop with you. But the problem in the church is, we love to hoard blessings to ourselves. Some of us in here should be on the show Hoarders, Buried Alive. You got so many blessings God has deposited into you. How many sermons do you have to hear? How many prayers do you have to receive? When will you start praying for somebody else? When will you start being a word to somebody else? We take all this stuff in, get bigger and bigger and bigger, and never give it to anybody else. And that's one of the reasons I believe in my heart of hearts why the church isn't as blessed as it could be. Because God knows that when he gives you the blessing, it'll stop with you. That when God does something for you that's big, God gives you extra. Here's the crazy thing. And God does this stuff on purpose. God will give you more than what you need. And then somebody will come around and say, man, I really need some help in this area. And you'll just say, I'll pray about it. I pray that God bless you like he blessed me. We don't see it as an opportunity to pay it forward, because we love the receiving, but we don't love the giving. My last example is Jesus. Came from heaven. Entered earth in a manger, in a feeding trough. Died on the cross for sinners, for sin he never committed. And now all the world has been saved through his merits of his death. One person's life was such a blessing that it reached into every person in existence. Here's the reality. You are blessed to be a blessing. You know why I preach this sermon? I preached it because I don't know about all who've seen the information I've given to your pastor. We're going to be doing a lot of things. We're giving away diapers, hundreds of diapers. We're giving away hundreds of book bags. We're giving away a lot of things to the community. Help for mental health issues, financial help. We're dealing with people holistically. Amen, somebody. Amen. We love for me to preach them down, but it's more to this gospel life than just somebody preaching. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we're putting our money where our mouth is. Amen. My brother said, be real. I'm a be real up in here just because he said that. We're spending some big money all to show love to the community. We're finna be dealing with people who don't look like you, who don't smell like you. People who are going to be babes in Christ. And some of us who have so much will be asked to give. Because God has deposited much into you and much is required. Guess what? This isn't me and Pastor Aaron's revival. This isn't our thing. I don't care. Like, I'm going to another church directly after this. Let me not say I don't care. I care. But I have no emotions towards this stuff. I'm like, God, you're going to do this with or without me. You're going to do your will. It's going to be done. I don't take emotions into this stuff. I just let the Lord do his thing. But the reality is, if you're looking to me to be, or Pastor Aaron, to be the answer to this, we not. The answer to this is us as a whole. God has blessed this church. When I look around this church, I see young people. Don't you know I'm preaching at churches? I'm an itinerary preacher. I preach at different churches almost every Sabbath. And if I could tell you the state of some of these churches, you would be blown away. They wish they had some young people. Their youngest member is in their 90s. He can't think about trying to pass out a flyer. Y'all laughing, I'm being for real. No, seriously. God has blessed you in so many ways. And now this is the time where we're going to pour out the blessings God has deposited into us to other people. And here's the thing. I don't want you to get caught up on one thing. This is a holistic revival we're going to be doing. Amen. We're dealing with people's health. We're dealing with people's money. And we're dealing with people's connection with God. Yes. Because I'm under the impression that all three of those things are important. Don't tell me you love me, but you don't care about my money. Yes. Don't tell me you love me, but you're going to let me eat whatever and live however and never exercise. Mm. Don't tell me you love me, but you'll never tell me about Jesus. Come on. And here's the reality. As a church, we have gotten so much better at being a humanitarian organization. We know how to help people. We know how to give. But we are slowly losing our ability to speak life into people. Yeah. We're more likely to not even bring up Jesus. I'm preaching to myself. It was in the middle of the pandemic. I'm about to bring this thing to a close. We were in the middle of the pandemic.
And we were doing COVID testing. We were giving away food. I was already in a bad place. But I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to serve God, and I'm just going to give away food. I'm going to help people. God will get the glory like that. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to be trying to glorify him like that. I'm just going to do some good things like he told us to do. But then I was working with this guy. He was an atheist. And then he told me, he was like, you know what? I find it so weird that y'all are doing all this good stuff, but you're not praying for anybody. He doesn't believe in God. What I'm trying to share with you is, we as a church have to be willing to speak those things of life into people. We're going to have people in a few weeks who are going to be coming through these doors. And you'll see in my next presentation about how on opening night, every seat will be filled. Amen. Some of y'all ain't seen that in a minute. Amen. It's going to be filled with people who are not members of this church. Amen. It's going to have so many bonnets up in here. People are going to have on pajamas.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be blown away. No, I'm serious.
Amen.
You're going to see every and anything. Because when the word goes out, I don't put no caveats on it. I don't say, you can come, you can't come. No, no, no. Whosoever will. And your job as a member is to see how you can be a blessing in somebody else's life. Don't let this meeting go by and not connect with anybody. I don't need you listening to me. I promise you, everything I'm going to say is stuff you've already heard a million times. You need to be on the lookout to connect. How you can be a blessing to, you know, it's not even just about money. Oftentimes you can be a blessing to somebody's life just by listening to them. Taking an interest in them. You don't know how many churches that flip up and change on me and my wife the moment they find out I'm the evangelist. When we come in, don't nobody speak. But then when they find out who we are, they want to talk and love on us. Like, hold on. You're a respecter of persons. God told us we shouldn't do that. Treat everybody in here like they're Pastor Aaron.
Amen.
No, seriously. Treat all the guests who come in here like they're the most important person in the world.
Amen.
I want to get to know you. What do you like to do? We have to be a blessing in other people's lives. Because can I be honest with you? A sermon doesn't keep people in church. No matter who's preaching. Good music doesn't keep people. It's the Holy Spirit keeping people. But it's the Holy Spirit using us. He uses us to connect with other people. It's my last thing before I close. I told you I wouldn't be before you long.
My brother just called me up.
The blessing is never supposed to stop with you. So whatever God has blessed with you, you got to look for ways to keep that blessing going. Don't be the person who, when somebody gives to you, all you can do is say thank you and belch it, ask for more. Maybe there's somebody out here who says, you know what, Pastor? I hear what you're saying. I want my life to be a blessing to somebody else. If that's you, I want us to consecrate ourselves. If that's you, I want you to stand with me. If you want to be a blessing in somebody else's life, not just your own life, somebody else's life. And guess what? This is no thing where I'm trying to make you stand if you don't want to. You can sit down. I'm just taking account of who's going to be with me. Because when you're standing, this means you're coming with no excuses. You're saying you want to be a blessing. So, Pastor, do me a favor. Pray and just consecrate our decisions.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Pastor Cody has just preached a mighty, powerful sermon. Lord, and you see each and every person who is standing here today. Lord, and who's online standing here today or hand raised, whatever it may be, but you see them, Heavenly Father. And so at this moment, Lord God, we dedicate and consecrate ourselves to you. not to this church, but to you, for you to use us as you see fit. Lord, I know we make so many plans, and then we take these plans and we say, all right, God, bless these plans. Help us, Heavenly Father, to, Lord, come to you first and help us to be willing to hear how you want us to shape our plans. Lord, I pray that this call that Pastor Cody has made for us, Lord, we might take it serious and we might go forward as a unified body to serve this church and community. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Now, at this moment, I'd be remiss if I didn't give anybody who's under the sound of my voice an opportunity to make a decision for God. And as this song is playing, I just invite you to come down. Anybody who says, I want to start over with God, I just did my part. Now it's time for you to do your part. Oh, Jesus is calling this morning. He wants to order your steps. He wants you to move. He said, this isn't the moment to be trying to figure everything out. He says, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Somebody wants to restart with God? Just lift your hand in the air. I see you, my sister. Amen. Don't let their decision be your indecision. Amen. What blows me away is every time I do an appeal, people always looking around trying to figure out who I'm talking to. Oh, I wish so-and-so was here. I wish this person was here to hear this message. You're here. Amen. God's talking to you. Man, this was going to be the year that God's going to do something powerful. Somebody said, man, I wanted to be better this year. I wanted to be stronger. I said I was going to give him my life, but life keeps lifing. Life keeps coming in the middle of my relationship with God, and somebody in here needs to restart. Before we try to revive the community, we got to revive ourselves. Lord, let the revival start in me. Lord, if you're going to do something, do it within me. Somebody under the sound of my voice, I see you, my sister.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody under the sound of my voice, and guess what? I hope I'm coming down your street. I hope I'm stepping on your toe. Somebody this year has been trying to figure things out with God. You're not even sure if you believe in God. It's because you've been trying to exceed God in ways that God's not trying to show himself. And God's saying, if you would just follow me, take a chance. You take a chance with everything else. But when it comes to me, you become a scientist. You try to figure out everything. Why is it when it's time to do what God says, everybody gets all theological? Hold on. I need to pray about it. I need to read some scriptures. When it's time to go to the club, ain't nobody doing that. Oh, I'm ready to go. Come pick me up. But when it's time to follow God, we hit the brakes. Oh, he's calling you in this place today. Oh, church, I need you to pray. Because there's somebody under the sound of my voice. I'm not going to look at you. But there's somebody under the sound of my voice who hears the Lord calling them. Oh, I have no power within myself. Oh, it's Jesus calling you softly and tenderly. He says, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. You tried everything else. He says, try me. Come home, my child. Oh, there's nothing you could do or have done that will make God blush. It's nothing you can do or have done that will surprise God. He loved you when you did it, and he loves you afterwards. Now he's saying, come home. Come back to me. Stop just doing this church thing. I want your heart. Because here's the thing. Many of us bodies are here, but our hearts and our minds are on the other side of town. We already planning foolishness we're going to get into tonight. Jesus said, give me your heart. Give the pastor your hand.